Today's reading is from the prophet Ezekiel. It's chapter 34, reading from verse 11, and can be found on page 865. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. And the second reading comes from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, and that's Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 15, and can be found on page 1173. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen. May God bless this reading from his holy word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. What kind of king is this? Today is traditionally known as Christ the King Sunday. It's a slightly odd name for a Sunday, because surely Christ is King every Sunday. The feast of our Lord Jesus Christ the King Sunday, to give it its Sunday name, signifies the end of the Christian year and is a celebration of the kingship and authority of Jesus before the start of Advent next Sunday, which is the start of the Christian year. So Christ is King. Hallelujah. But what does this mean? We talked with the children this morning about what it means to be a king. What does a king look like and how should he act? What is it that makes a king a king? As we look around our world today, we see many people of power in the realms of politics, high finance, big business, and also in religion. We could spend all morning having a discourse about the rights and wrongs of how each person exercises their power, about what makes a good leader and what makes a bad one. Why is it that some people seem to exude the charisma to lead without having any substance, whilst those with less charisma and more morals languish in obscurity? We're not going to spend all morning doing that. I have a judo competition to go to afterwards. Not for me. Throughout history, we can find many examples of leadership, both good and bad. We could do no better than look in the Bible, where we can find the charismatic King David and his wise son, Solomon. David, anointed by God as the future king of Israel, he soothed Saul's troubled spirit. He defeated Goliath. He refused to murder Saul in cold blood, even when Saul was pursuing him. Yet he stole another man's wife and murdered her husband. His children fought amongst themselves, trying to grab for power and forgetting that true kings are appointed by God alone. Solomon, famed for his God-given wisdom, we all know that story where he was called to decide which woman was mother to the living baby and which woman's child had died in the night. He fulfilled the dream of his father to build a temple to God which would house the Ark of the Covenant. Yet he countermanded the commands of God and married women from other nations. These women brought their own religions with them and turned Solomon's heart from God. Great kings, fantastic examples of what it means to be a great leader, but flawed and human. It was their legacy which led to the division of the kingdom and the dispersal of the Jewish people. Ezekiel was a prophet during the time of the exile to Babylon. He was called to show Israel how its relationship with God had been broken. He lived in Babylon, and his message was to his companions in exile. The passage preceding the one which we have read today condemns the kings and leaders of Israel for being poor stewards of God's people. They lined their own pockets. They wasted resources. They governed selfishly. Because they were poor, uncaring shepherds, God took the land and the people away from them. In the passage which we read, God, through Ezekiel, is describing the qualities of a good shepherd, a good leader. When I was preparing for today, I counted 10 adjectives in this short passage describing how the Sovereign Lord leads. Searching, nurturing, caring, saving, restoring, feeding, defending, providing peace, judging, and loving. These are personal statements. He will search for me. He will care for me. Save me, restore me, and feed me. Grant me his peace. Judge me and love me. This shows an individual and a personal relationship between me and God. The only way in which God can search for me is if he knows me. It is not uncommon to hear an appeal on the radio to look for an individual who is missing or maybe wanted to assist the police with their inquiries. You hear they're looking for a lady with grey hair and glasses in her 50s or 60s, about 5'5", tall, slim, last seen wearing a green coat. Well, that's about 30% of the ladies in church this morning described. If you saw a photograph on television, that might help. But on a different day, with different clothes, you could walk past her in the street. However, if you're told that it's Rita Custard they're looking for, then you know who to look out for. And unless she has intentionally made some drastic changes to herself, you would easily recognize her if you saw her. God knows us. He knows each one of us by name. He has counted the hairs on our head, and he can identify us by the unique genetic code hidden deep in our cells. He knows us, inside and out. The good bits, the bad bits, and the ugly bits. He knows our deepest secrets and desires. He knows us better than we can ever know ourselves. Yet he still loves us. When God searches for us, he will find us, and he will gather us into his fold once again. How does that make us feel? Is that reassuring or terrifying? God will call us. He will ask us. He will encourage us, but he will not force us. Ultimately, if God seeks you out, it is your decision whether you answer his call or not. Being a part of God's family means that he cares about you, about where you are and what you are doing, and he will make every effort to bring his child to a place of protection and safety. He is a king who saves. He saw that we could not keep our side of the covenant. He saw that we kept wandering away and following our own paths. He knew that when it came to final judgment, not one of us would be saved. So he solved the problem for us. He is the great judge who will bring us to our reckoning, but he has also provided the means for us to be redeemed through the sacrifice of his own son, the only perfect man who ever lived, and therefore the only one able to take the punishment for all onto his shoulders. This is a king who gets his hands dirty. He takes the ultimate responsibility for his people, even going so far as to sacrifice himself on a cross in the once and forever act of redeeming love. From Ezekiel 34, verse 16, I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. There is an anger within the Ezekiel passage against those who have led the flock astray, who have allowed them to become scattered, who have not fulfilled their sacred charge and responsibility, but have looked to their own needs whilst neglecting the needs of those around them. This shows great anger from God towards those who would seek to intentionally turn others from him. As with all things, God speaks and waits for us to respond. In this instance, he has spoken to show us what good kingship and leadership means and how he will enact his kingship in our lives. For our response, we turn to the passage from Ephesians chapter 1. This is a prayer of thanksgiving and of supplication. Thanksgiving that the people of Ephesus have faith in Jesus and love for all of God's people. I keep asking that the glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Our response is clear. We should learn more about God and about Jesus. We should spend time getting to know him better, for only by knowing him better will we recognize him when he comes searching for us. Let us turn to a story from the American Civil War. It is December the 13th, 1862. The Confederate Army has fortified itself against a stone wall at the base of a sloping hill. The Union Army began to approach the wall, and over the next hours, over 8,000 soldiers from the Unionist side are shot by the Confederate Army. Many are still alive, although badly wounded. And during the course of the night, soldiers from both sides can hear the cries of the wounded and dying soldiers. One infantry sergeant of the Confederate Army cannot bear to hear the cries any longer, and in the morning asks his commanding officer to allow him to provide what comfort he can to the injured and dying soldiers. He is given permission and spends the next hour and a half going back and forth over that wall, providing water to the thirsty lips of all the injured soldiers, even going so far as to give up his own coat to cover a cold enemy soldier. Infantry Sergeant Richard Roland Kirkland temporarily halted the American Civil War on the morning of December the 14th, 1862, because he knew that to lead, you must care and you must serve, even going so far as to put your own life at risk for the benefit of others. Sides in the war did not matter at that moment in time. He knew what was the right thing to do, and he did it. It would have been much safer and easier for him to sit on his side of the wall, safe and protected. He could have felt bad. He could have even prayed for the soldiers. Instead of words or thought, he acted out his faith. He didn't just pray for comfort and solace in words. he prayed in action, and he took the comfort and solace to those who needed it. There is nothing passive on God's part. Therefore, our response should also be active. This is an active faith which seeks to know more. How do we know more? Through studying the Bible, through prayer, through meeting with our fellow Christians on a Sunday morning, through talking and praying with one another. This leads us on to love, an active love, which has concern for all God's children, but more than concern, expresses that love in active ways. Through prayer, by actively taking an interest in the lives of others, through actively caring for those in need, through listening to one another's needs and responding appropriately. Jesus Christ was risen from the dead and now sits at the right hand of God. He has all power and dominion and majesty. He is the head of the church, ruler of all, yet he is the King who walks beside us, touching our hearts and our lives. He knows each one of us by name and will search for us when we are lost. He cares enough to feed us and to bind our broken hearts. He judges us and pays the price for our sin. What kind of king is this? The perfect kind of king, a servant king.